It's wonderful to have the band back together.
Amen to that, too.
Praising the Lord together. It's hot in those masks, let me tell you. But, you know, if you're here in attendance with us today, you can go ahead and remove the masks now if you want to. One of the things, when we were talking about following the CDC guidelines and creating a playbook for Phase 4, the bottom line was that the most dangerous part of the worship service when it comes to this COVID-19 thing was the idea of singing corporately. So I appreciate those of you that were singing with the masks on today. That was very helpful. But it is very hot in those masks, I understand. I'm excited for the opportunity to be able to be together. If you have your Bibles, whether you're here or at home, go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to tell you about a few things. Hopefully, those of you that are watching online, you enjoyed having the picture-in-picture there last week when I talked about Jeremiah and Joshi doing some work on our live stream. They surprised me yesterday with the idea that they could actually have the live stream with the picture of Pastor Andy and in the corner of the screen put the lyrics up as well. And so I said to Joshi, well, does that mean that I can have my PowerPoint up on the screen too? And he said, yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, I didn't have time to build an entire PowerPoint like I usually do, so I just want to put one verse up on the screen. And this verse I've heard thrown around a lot in the last couple of months. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to tell you about a celebration that I have this week. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but we celebrated my 480-month anniversary on December 11th of this past year, where I turned 40 years old. This week, I turn 486 months old. Now, of course, we don't talk about that when it comes to adult terms. We switch it over to years, but how many of you have seen an infant and the you ask the parents how old they are and they say 5 months or 14 months or whatever, for example? We don't often think in terms of months after we get to a certain point, but maybe we should. So let me just throw a couple of statistics at you for just a moment. I mentioned I'm turning 486 months old this year, this week. I have also been a Christian now for 255 months. I've been married for 214 months. I've been a father for 195 months. And I've been the lead pastor at Community Evangelical Free Church now for 63 months. And if you saw the video from Mike Emerson this past week, or if you received his letter, you understand that that means that I've now been the pastor of this church for a little over 5 years. Now, we don't think in terms of months very often until we have a time of trial that we have to go through that lasts for months. And this morning we're celebrating our opportunity to regather Community Evangelical Free Church for the first time in 3 months. And it seems like it's been an eternity. But we're back together. And next week we'll be joined by even more people. So let's talk about what 3 months is, though, in terms of our lifetime. So I mentioned that I'm turning 486 months old this week, and we've been gone for 3 months, which means that we have not been able to worship together for 0.6% of my life. 0.6%. It's felt like an eternity the last 3 months. But when you look at the big picture of things, it's only a drop in the bucket. For some of you, it's a lot less than 0.6 months. And when you look at the idea of what is eternity, itself, because isn't that what we celebrate when we have the opportunity to worship together? We celebrate the idea that one day we will be before the throne of God, and we will be there for all eternity. The song says, when 10,000 years have passed, right? 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And yet when we're in the midst of the trial, it feels like an eternity. So Hebrews 10:25, many of us are familiar with this verse. I've used it jokingly the past several summers because during the summer, there tends to be a tendency for people to have other things to do besides worship together on Sunday morning. I have a feeling that we're never going to take that for granted again. So let's read a little bit out of Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to give us the context of Hebrews chapter 10, first of all. So the author of the book of Hebrews has been writing to people who are racially and religious, well, racially Hebrew or racially Jewish, yet have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was at Word of Life Bible Institute, one of my professors said that the purpose of the book of Hebrews was this. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to tell the Hebrews to stop being Hebrews. Okay, let me say that one more time. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to tell the Hebrews to stop being Hebrews. Now, the author of Hebrews was not telling them to abandon their race. What he was telling them to do was to recognize that now that Jesus Christ had come and that he had died on the cross for their sins, there was no longer a need for the sacrificial system that they had been so entrenched with for literally thousands of years. So when we get to Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 11, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by the means of blood of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the defiled persons and the ashes of the heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish from God, purify our conscience from good works to serve the living God?" In other words, Jesus was the only sacrifice that these Hebrews needed. Jesus. And he was offered once for all. He didn't need to come back and continue to be repeatedly offered over and over. It was a one and done. He was sacrificed and he took away the sins of the world. So verse 10 starts with, "For since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of the realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near." In other words, the sacrifices that were offered every single year could never do what Jesus did. They could cover people's sins, but they could never take them away like Jesus did. So jump down to verse 11 of chapter 10. "Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for a single time a sacrifice for sins, himself, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting. From that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet." Now let's jump down to verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, so since Jesus offered his body for our sins, and since he is now a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, since these things are true, here's what the author of Hebrews tells us that we ought to do. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Let me pause right there and just tell you that over the next 3 weeks, those are the passages that we will be looking at together as we continue our process of regathering. You know, today it's just simply volunteers that are helping us out this morning. But over the next couple weeks, we believe that we're going to open up to phase four. And then the governor said that hopefully we would only be in phase four for 2 to 3 weeks. So hopefully we'll be able to quickly move into phase five, maybe even before the end of this month, moving into phase five. Now, do I know what all the details of that look like? No, I honestly do not. As the weeks develop, we'll be able to give more information to people. But I'll tell you this. Over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at those verses, those let us passages. Now we get to verse 25, and this verse has been thrown around so much over the last 3 months. In fact, a pastor friend of mine, when he announced to his congregation that they were still going to remain paused with their in-person ministry for at least through the end of June and maybe longer, this verse was thrown at him as a verse saying, God said we ought to be open. Well, my friends, let's look carefully at this verse and see if that's really what the author of Hebrews is saying here. Now, up on the screen, I've used a translation that I don't normally use. I've used this translation because in this translation, they used the key words that I specifically wanted for this message. Now, are other translations wrong? No. They've used similes for different words. So let me read it, first of all, in the ESV, and then I'll read what you're seeing up on your screen. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's the English Standard Version. The version that I have up on your screen says, not forsaking the gathering together of ourselves, as is a habit with some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, by as much as you see the day drawing near. Now, one of the reasons that I chose this version that's up on the screen is because it uses the word forsaking. And another reason that I chose this version is because it uses the word gathering. And that's what we're celebrating today, is our first regathering Sunday. But I think what happens when people look at this verse a lot of times is they read that first section of that verse and then don't look at what the rest of the verse is saying. And of course, they don't look at what the verses before that said either. But let's focus in for just a moment on that word forsaking. And what does it mean? Well, in the English Standard Version, it's translated as neglecting. And I think that translation doesn't give as strong an emphasis on what the author is actually saying here. What the author is saying is, do not abandon the Christian faith. What he's not saying is, if you don't have church together for 3 months, you've dishonored God. That's not what he's saying. Amen. What he's saying is, no matter how tough life gets, do not walk away from the Christian faith. And to put it back into the context of the book of Hebrews and what the Hebrew people were dealing with, you have to understand some of the things that Jesus and the apostles went through from their own countrymen. You remember that it was the Pharisees that were the main ones that pushed Jesus towards the cross. Yes, of course, it was the Romans that actually crucified, because the Jewish people didn't have the power, the authority to put to death another person. Only the Romans could, but it was the Hebrews that had instigated it. And not only that, but you remember, as we get into the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, how many times did the Jews throw Peter and John in prison? What the author of the book of Hebrews is telling these Hebrew believers in Jesus Christ is that, yes, you may go through a time of trial, but do not give up your Christian faith. No matter what life throws at you, continue to cling to it. Now, were there some weeks that they probably couldn't meet together? Absolutely. There were absolutely times where it was not safe to meet together. Did that show a lack of faith? Absolutely not. They understood that they had a mission that they needed to fulfill, and they needed to be wise in that mission. Now, here's what happens. We read that phrase of this verse, and then we stop there. We say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together or the gathering of ourselves together. And then we stop. And I think really the fruit of the passage comes after that. The next phrase in this particular translation says, but exhorting one another. But exhorting one another. My English Standard Version translation here says, but encouraging one another. What he's saying is, yes, as you go through trials, your brethren should step up and help you continue to cling to Jesus Christ through those things. And not only that, but if you see another believer who is struggling, it is your responsibility, my responsibility, our responsibility to step up and encourage them. But I think not only that, there's even more to this passage. And I think this last part is probably the part that brings me the most hope. It says, and so much more, by as much as you see the day drawing near. Well, what day? The day that our Lord Jesus Christ returns for his church. We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. And tomorrow will be another day closer if he tarries. But maybe he won't. Maybe today's the day that he comes back. In all of our anticipation to be able to regather community in person, how much thought, how much emphasis have we individually put into the idea that maybe Jesus wasn't going to give us a chance to regather in this building? Maybe he was going to come back first. And then all of the struggles that we've gone through over the last month, we wouldn't even remember when he wipes away every tear from every eye. There's another short passage that I want to share with you. It's from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. And I mentioned at the beginning of the service that we were going to share in communion together. So hopefully those of you that are watching at home, you've set up your elements. those of us that are here, we've got our elements ready to share in communion together. And I look forward to the day when Jesus Christ comes back. Remember, he said that he would not eat of the bread and drink of the wine again until he did it in the kingdom. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine himself before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So where you're at right now, I just want you to take a moment. I want you to look back over the last 3 months when we haven't been able to gather in person. And I want you to think about your thoughts and your attitudes over the last 3 months. And have they been honoring and glorifying to God? Maybe they have. I can tell you, though, that personally, there have been times over the last 3 months where I have been discouraged. It has saddened me to not be able to gather together. And I've taken my eyes off of Jesus in so much as I haven't recognized that this didn't surprise God. He's had it under control the whole time. And that's just me being transparent and honest with you. And I just wonder if anyone else has had even a glimpse of those same thoughts over the last couple months. And if so, I just want you to take a moment, just where you're at right now, and just confess those to God. Turn them over to him and say, "Lord, I understand that even in the midst of this trial, you are still working all things together for good." Then the Apostle Paul, in verse 33 of this same passage, he uses that word, gather. He says, So my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. And I just want to remind you that even those of you that are watching at home that are not able to be here in person, or those of you that have chosen not to return to community during phase 4, you're still gathered with us. We're still with you in spirit, even though not necessarily in person. So I'm excited about the opportunity that we have, because we live in this strange age of technology, unlike any other before, where even though we're not necessarily in the same building together, we're still able to celebrate the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us and his blood that was spilled for us together. So let me read you just a short couple verses from that same passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us partake together. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, his once for all sacrifice, the fact that he doesn't need to be sacrificed over and over and over. His one-time sacrifice was enough to pay for my sins, our sins, and the sins of the entire world. Lord, we thank you that he willingly allowed his body to be broken on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then as the Apostle Paul continues that same passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Father, I thank you that Jesus willingly spilled out his blood to pay for our sins. And Father, I thank you that whether we are able to be here in person together or wherever we are, we recognize that Jesus is the Savior of all who have placed their trust in him. We thank you so much for this first regathering Sunday, and we look forward to what else you have for us in the future as we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ's return. We love you so much, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy of every song. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my little one and show. Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Heart and me in your love for all.
Thank you, band, and thank you for those that have joined us in person and those who have joined us online this morning. I want to make mention of this. Pastor Andy and I talked about it this week, but probably very few other people know about this. We're going to next week have our second Regathering Sunday service, and next week we are going to have Pajama Day. And the reason for that is because all of you that are staying home, we know that you're in your pajamas. So we wanted to dress a little bit nicer today because we were celebrating communion. But next Sunday, if you plan to join us in person, feel free. You don't have to, but feel free to wear appropriate pajamas to join us.
Okay? Even your fuzzy slippers.
Fuzzy slippers if you want.
That'd be awesome.
That's right. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. And then I asked Bob if he could – actually, do you have something to close with? Okay. I asked Bob if he could play a little bit of music because we understand that there's about a 30-second delay between what I say and what you hear on the screen. And we don't want to cut that off early. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this first Regathering Sunday and just how good you are, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives, Lord. We pray that you would continue to strengthen us, continue to control our thoughts and our mind, and just help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord. We thank you so much that we can regather, whether in person or online. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. I love you, and I'll see you soon.